How many of you ever heard of John Alexander Dowie? Well, John Alexander Dowie was a man that lived in the mid-1800s, died, I believe, in 1907, 1909, perhaps, around there. And he was a Scotsman, a minister, a pastor, and eventually he lived in Australia. And I want to read you this account of Mr. Dowie's life from, well, let me say this. Eventually, Dowie left Australia and came to America. And God's working through him preceded his coming, that when he landed in San Francisco and spent the night, people lined up around the block to be prayed for. He eventually settled in Evanston, Illinois. The papers in Chicago, you know, Evanston's fairly close to Chicago, and the papers in Chicago began to attack him, and he got a letter for a woman that was in Chicago that was dying, and so he took that as an opportunity to go to Chicago. And he went and prayed for the woman. She was healed. And so he set up his headquarters in Chicago. It's hard to believe. He had two great enemies in Chicago, two groups. One was what he called the liquor interests. And they actually tried to kill him several times, set up ambushes for him. And between the two, 1 year alone, they had him arrested 100 times in 1 year. In 1895, he was arrested 100 times for practicing medicine without a license. And they knew they couldn't win in court. The reason 100 times was they'd let him go. And they'd often arrest him while he's preaching. And they would arrest him and throw him in prison, you know, with the cream of the society. And then they'd let him go. And he finally refused to go until they charged him and he won in court. And after that, they let him alone. But it's in the court records of Chicago that God heals. But anyway, here's what he said. Here's an account. This is from a newspaper that he published called The Leaves of Healing. And it has to do with this Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This account is from an 1894 edition of his paper called The Leaves of Healing. He says, at noon 16 years ago, I sat in my study in the parsonage of the Congregational Church at Newtown, a suburb of the beautiful city of Sydney, Australia. My heart was very heavy, for I had been visiting the sick and dying beds of more than 30 of my flock. I had cast the dust to its kindred dust into more than 40 graves in a few weeks. The plague had hit Australia. Where, oh where, was he who used to heal his suffering children? No prayer for healing seemed to reach his ear, and yet I knew his hand had not been shortened. Still, it did not save from death even those for whom there was so much in life to live for, and others. And there I sat with sorrow, bowed head for my afflicted people, until the bitter tears came to relieve my burning heart. Then I prayed for some message, and oh, how I longed to hear some words from him who wept in sorrow for the suffering long ago, the man of sorrow and sympathies. And then the words of the Holy Ghost, inspired in Acts 10:38, stood before me all radiant with light, revealing Satan as the defiler and Christ as the healer. My tears were wiped away. My heart was strong. I saw the way of healing, and the door thereunto was opened wide. And so I said, God, help me now to preach that word to all the dying round and tell them how it's Satan that still defiles and Jesus still delivers, for he is just the same today. A loud ring and several loud raps at the outer door. A rush of my feet, and then at my door, two panting messengers who said, "Oh, come at once. Mary is dying. Come and pray." With such a feeling as a shepherd who hears that his sheep are being torn from the fold by a cruel wolf, I rushed from my house, ran hatless down the street, and entered the room of the dying maiden. There she lay groaning, grinding her clenched teeth in the agony of the conflict with the destroyer. The white froth mingled with blood oozing from her pain-distorted mouth. I looked at her, and then my anger burned. Oh, I thought, for some sharp sword of heavenly temper, keen to slay this cruel foe, who is strangling that lovely maiden like an invisible serpent, tightening his deadly coils for a final victory. In a strange way it came to pass, I found the sword I needed was in my hands, and is in my hands. I hold it still, and never will I lay it down. The doctor, a good Christian man, was quietly walking up and down in the room, sharing the mother's pain and grief. Presently he stood at my side and said, "Sir, are not God's ways mysterious?" Instantly the sword was flashing in my hand, the Spirit's sword, the Word of God. "God's way," I said, pointing to the scene of conflict. "How dare you call that God's way of bringing his children home from earth to heaven? No, sir, that's the devil's work. And it's time we called on him who came to destroy the works of the devil, to slay that deadly foal, that deadly foul destroyer, and to save the child. Can you pray, doctor? Can you pray the prayer of faith that saves the sick?" At once offended at my words, my friend was changed and said, "You are too much excited, sir. 'Tis best to say God's will be done." And he left the room. Excited, the word was quite inadequate, for I was almost frenzied with divinely imparted anger and hatred of that foul destroying disease which was doing Satan's will. "It is not so," I exclaimed. "No will of God sends such cruelty, and I shall never say God's will be done to Satan's works, which God's own Son came to destroy, and this is one of them." Oh, how the word of God was burning in my heart. Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And was not God with me? And was not Jesus there, and all his promises true? I felt that it was even so, and turning to the mother, I inquired, "Why did you send for me?" Which she said, "Do pray, oh, pray for her that God may raise her up." And so we prayed. What did I say? It may be that I cannot now recall the words without mistake, but words are in themselves of small importance. The prayer of faith may be a voiceless prayer, a simple heartfelt look of confidence into the face of Christ. At such a moment, words were few, but they mean much, for God is looking at the heart still. I can remember much of the prayer until this day, and asking God to aid, I will endeavor to recall it. I cried, "O Father, help, and Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray. Plead thou for us, O Jesus, Savior, healer, friend, our advocate with the Father. Hear and heal, Eternal One. From all disease and death, deliver this sweet child. I rest upon your word. We claim the promise now. Your word is true. I am the Lord that healeth her." Then heal her now. The word is true. I am the Lord, I change not. Unchanging God, then prove yourself the healer now. Your word is true. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And I believe and lay hands in Jesus' name on her and claim this promise now. Thy word is true. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Trusting in thee alone, I cry, O Lord, save her now. For Jesus' sake, amen. And lo, the maiden lay still in sleep so deep and sweet that the mother said in a low whisper, is she dead? No, I said, Mary will live, the fever is gone. She is perfectly well and sleeping as an infant sleeps. Turning to the nurse, I said, get me at once, please, a cup of cocoa and several slices of bread and butter. Beside the sleeping maid, we sat quietly, almost silently, until the nurse returned, and then I bent over her, snapping my finger, said, Mary. Instantly she awoke, smiled, and said, oh, sir, when did you come? I have slept so long. And stretching out her arms to meet her mother, she said, Mother, I feel so well and hungry too. I said, pouring some cocoa in a saucer and offering it to her when cooled by my breath. Yes, and hungry too. He said, and this is the story of how I came to preach the gospel of healing through faith in Jesus. And he made this statement, which is quite astounding. He said, disease is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its mother, sin. Disease is the foul offspring of its father, Satan, and its mother, sin. He said, you do not base your belief that Jesus is the Savior from sin upon the fact that someone is saved, but you base it upon the Word of the living God, and you stand there, and that applies to healing and everything else. He made the statement, he said, I have prayed for as many as 50,000 people a year since that time. And he had such results that they despised him. In fact, when he went to court, his defense was, I've never laid hands on people. They're always healed. He had healing homes where they read the Bible to him and prayed for him. But he said they brought in witness after witness that they were healed. In fact, they brought in baskets full of testimonies of people that were healed, but he had never touched a one of them. And so the judge declared him not guilty, and they left him alone. And of course, then he eventually quietly bought land and built a city called Zion, Illinois, which really was his downfall, because God never called anybody to build a city. But the city's still there. I've been there. The neat thing about the city is the streets one way are numbered, but all the other way, they're Bible names. So you can go to 10th and Jonah, or 10th and Luke, 10th and Isaiah, something like that. And the center of town was the church, not the city hall. Everything was wooden, you understand. It all burnt down. Another interesting thing, most of the men, the originators, the men who were in the healing revival of 1947 to 1958, most of the leaders came out of Zion, Illinois. Their parents lived in Zion. F.F. Bosworth came out of Zion. John G. Lake came out of Zion. Branham came out of Zion. Fowler came out of Zion. All kinds of them. The founders of the Assembly of God Church came out of Zion. He was a forerunner. Amen? But he missed it when he built that city, and he ended up not so good. But God gave him a revelation of that scripture, Acts 10:38, and he took it to the world. In fact, he set up a tent across from Buffalo Bill's Wild West show at the World's Fair, outside the World's Fair. Buffalo Bill's was too big to get, you know, his thing was too big, and Dowie, they wouldn't let in. And so he set up across from there and prayed for thousands of people during the World's Fair.